All right, please join me in giving a warm welcome to Dr. Stephen Bowen.
Welcome to the Every Speaker Has a Story podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Steve Roman, and today the story is mine. I'm going to share with you today the audio that I captured when I gave a presentation at Inbound 17 in Boston in September. A huge conference, 21,000 people. I only had, 800 in my room, but still, it was an interesting experience, and I just wanted to share it with everybody. So if you're a regular podcast listener looking for your interviews with lots of different professional speakers curated around, a theme, well, you're not going to get that today. But look, I do have a lot of jokes in this presentation. Star Wars jokes, Kurt Russell jokes, Ms. Marvel jokes, Hunter S. Thompson jokes, jokes about steaks, and especially a thing called the sizzling mustache principle. And it has a graph to go with it of sizzling mustaches. So there's that. That's kind of fun. Speaking of, that means that if you would like to see the slides to go with this presentation, you can find them if you search for me at slideshare.com, or if you go to the main website for this particular podcast, which is morebrainswithaz.simplecast.fm, and click on this episode, you'll see a link to the SlideShare slides that you can follow along if you want to see poop emojis and other kinds of stuff as we go. If you are a SlideShare person, welcome to the podcast for the first time. So podcast people, these SlideShare folks came because they saw a link at the bottom of the SlideShare, and they're like, oh, I want to hear what he has to say. And here they are. So be nice to the SlideShare people. So SlideShare people, meet the podcast people. Podcast people, meet the SlideShare people. Good. That wasn't that hard, was it? I mean, I've been told that I'm pretty bad at introductions, but I think that went pretty well. It helps that none of you are actually here. And I'm talking into a microphone by myself in a room. It makes it a lot easier to introduce strangers when there's no strangers around. I don't know that I'd call that a pro tip, because that's sort of useless as far as knowledge goes, but there you go. Huh, the more you know. So we will get started here in just a second. If you're looking for regular episodes, I'm going to have an Inbound interview episode that's going to come out in just a little bit as I finish my interviews with Inbound speakers. Met some great people, some interesting stuff, and I think you're really going to like that episode. But until then, to tide you over, here is a very special episode of Every Speaker. It makes me think of Blossom when I say that, but this is a special episode of the Every Speaker Has a Story podcast, and here we go. Thanks. So here I am, looking when I was so excited to make the list of Inbound speakers, and I looked at the list of everybody, and I'm like, I'm so old, And so I thought, okay, but you know what I can offer? I can offer a Gen X academic from Texas who likes to talk about bullshit. They don't have one of those. Yeah, but you do, and she was fantastic last night, so there's no way I'm going to be able to meet up with that. But so all my thunder keeps getting stolen no matter what. But what I can bring you is this. I'm a nerd. I just have a paper. Come on, nerds. Nerds. You're nerds. That's about as good as you could do, right? It's like football. So Brené Brown is going to talk to you about football references. I'm going to talk about Star Trek and Star Wars, right? So it's a little bit different in terms of my style. So this, for me, is like my past. And for me, this is the greatest piece of inbounding ever, right? Kids excited to get an empty box for Christmas. You're going to wait for 4 months to get the action figures in the mail because they're not ready yet. Like, talk about being a brand fanatic in this case. And so that's what I do. I'm a nerd, so I study fans. I did my dissertation on X-Files fan fiction back in the day. Don't judge too much. Come on. Like, that whole section is just like, dude, no. We're ready. We were sitting over there. We leave by now. That's what I do. I study fans. In other words, I study what people do with things that they love in media. And I feel like a lot of inbound marketing arcs towards the idea of making people love the stuff. And we act like we're there then. I mean, you love it. You're a brand ambassador. And my whole career has been studying how that's just way more complicated than we would think. And that's the beginning of the story, not the end. So I teach at the university, and I talk about pop culture and rhetoric. I study how people interact with things. And I had my life's dream of being in a Star Wars movie. I was a talking head in People versus George Lucas, complaining about Jar Jar Binks and how super racist he is. That's what fans do. We love it and we hate it at the same time. And so I want to bring some of that to you a little bit today. But I have to admit something to you. I have to admit to you that I'm a fraud. Here I was at TEDx San Antonio telling an audience like you that it's important to share more. And what I meant is not share more number of stuff, but to share deeper things, personal things, build relationships. A year later, I'm giving a keynote, I'm telling the audience the same thing. And what I don't tell them is the night before, my grandmother died. And I'm giving a speech, gesturing at people. Share more with people. And I didn't tell them the most important thing that had happened. I didn't. So I come to you by saying, in a second I'm going to tell you everything that you're doing here at In Down is horseshit. And there were failures and hypocrites and frauds. But so am I. And I'm up here because I'm a bigger hypocrite and fraud than you are. And together we're going to unfraudulate ourselves by the end. She was a big fan of my speaking career, and I think she would have been wanting me to go on. So I felt good about it, but I should have told people. So I'm telling you. Thank you. So this is what we're doing. Now, my definition of bullshit is a little bit different than Brené Brown's. One of us is probably bullshitting. I don't know. So like this guy here, professor of classics, has a definition of the difference between bullshit and horseshit, which I find interesting. And so this is what you get for having Texans come. We're going to talk about shit. McDonald says bullshit is a lie, basically. You know, you want others to believe it. So the difference between a lie and bullshit would be a lie is just saying something. Bullshit is I want you to believe it. Horseshit is when you say it, you believe it. And I can't, if we could only think of a public figure that was true of. They told me to take out the political joke. Sorry. So for me, this is an interesting conundrum, is to what extent is what we're doing drinking our own Kool-Aid? Especially those of you who are in the job of marketing to other marketers, you begin to sort of feel like the Legos are stacking up in a very particular shape. So let's talk about whether you are willing to believe what you're selling here and what that means. Are you willing to believe? I'm willing to believe, and if we shrink this down, does that mean you'll lie? You're like, nope, we're going to reemphasize and talk about other words. We're going to talk about those words, and we want, this is inbound. We're about being given attention, about being given connection with people. That's what we're here for, but that's going to haunt everything we do. Right? It's always there, like Kurt Russell in used cars. You know, how much of us, what we're doing is sort of all getting together and going, here's how we're lying, just way classier than they used to in the baby boom days. You know, we're cooler, except for Rome with the cat suspenders. The rest of us are pretty cool. Are we going to lie? Because that's marketing, the blazer. And that's content, the Carol Carr. Instead, where's the relationships? And what are we going to do about relationships? And how do we build them? So I want to take you through bullshit and horseshit and no shit. And try to help us unpack this a little bit. So first, this is with the danger when you're a college professor. I'm going to take you through like German philosophy, but it's only going to be like 4.5 minutes. You can do it. If you needed like a safe space to just kind of go, look, I'm in college, I know, but here's what we're going to do. This is about content. Habermas believes that if we just sit together and talk rationally with each other, we can come to understanding and have a relationship. He obviously died before Facebook. Gadamer spends his whole career arguing with Habermas, and Gadamer says, no, instead what we have is the experiential horizons. I have some stuff that I know, you have some stuff that you know, and if we talk to each other, those horizons can sort of merge a little bit. So we have shared experiences. We all went downstairs and sat and looked at. All the baby boomers and Gen Xers had to like roll out afterwards. This is a lot of core strength that we might not have anymore. Right? And so, but that's just shared connection. That's the holy grail then of relationships. And theoretically, that's what's important about marketing too, is that connection that you build. And notice, it's not everything. It's only a small bit. Kenneth Burke, rhetorician, says that's magic. That's his magic gesture, right? He uses this reference called consubstantiality, which he takes from religion. And he says this is the paradox of substance. That for just a minute, even though we're separate, we feel like we're the same. But didn't you feel like that when you were saying to people across the aisle at Brené Brown last night? Like, I'm the same as you. We're the same stupid dance. We can't do anything. You know, you feel, you know that you're you're different, but you feel connected. And that, for Burke, is the magic of persuasion, the magic of rhetoric and how things work out. One more theorist for you. See, I told you it was going to be that hard. There's going to be a quiz later. Professor jokes don't work. Bateson is an interesting guy. He used to like take LSD and swim in the dolphins and try to talk to them. And one of the things he says is that people sort of suck at information. Right? Like if you're going to introduce yourself to somebody, you're like, hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, good.
I'm great.
See, I mean, nothing about that was great. But there's nothing in there, right? I mean, there's no informational content, right? Informational content. And when somebody stops and like says something, they're like, so seriously, I got this. You'd be like, right? I got to go. Let's talk later. You know, give me a message. You know? We actually don't have time for relationships. It gets in the way. So Bateson says that actually most human communication is, hi, how you doing in the hallway. That's everything. That's calling mom on the phone. That's hanging out with your colleagues. That's conversations with the food truck at Inbound. Right? Most of them are what he calls friendship messages, like dogs smelling each other's butts in the park. You know? Just kind of like, hey, basically, I'm not angry with you. We're cool, it's fine. You know? And you have the alternative, which is the ostentatiously checking your email in the hallways at Inbound. Right? Don't talk to me. I know I'm a marketer, but I'm an introvert and I have a computer. Do you not see the computer? Why are you making eye contact with me? This is email. Sorry, maybe it was just me. But I had a good reason for not returning your eye contact. I was practicing my speech, yo. I had a good reason. Bateson thinks this is super rare. That tiny, tiny little dot is like the one moment of connection that we have. And the haze of information we don't pay attention to, all of the relationship channels that never really consummate themselves, we have one tiny place. It's magic. And it hardly ever happens. And we act like it happens all the time. Or we act like Google Analytics will fix the fact that we don't know how to get there. Let me just shotgun content in the world and count what works. And hope that I haven't laid waste to all my potential clients who are tired of hearing my failed messages before I finally figure out the good one. Right? There's got to be a better way to do that. I know Google is the one. So let's talk about horseshit then. The question of whether or not, we kind of know this is true. You guys are nodding at me. You know, I should be nice. You have good, like, positive nonverbal affect. So it makes me feel like I'm valued even though you're like, no. Right? You're good at that. You've been in business meetings before. You know how that goes. Yes. Creating quality content. This is the classic, piece of horseshit that we do with ourselves. What is quality content? The kick-ass Ferrari? Or the Gremlin? Some of you are old enough to know what a Gremlin is. Imagine the worst car ever, worse than that. Of course, the Ferrari has Tom Selleck. My grandma loved Tom Selleck, by the way, so that's why he's here. But, you know, kind of badass. He's got his Ferrari. You know, that's quality content. That Ferrari goes fast. And the Gremlin, yeah. But if you're going to do this with it, then it's quality. How do you know what counts as quality at the head of time? And we act like we know what quality content is. Why? Because we think we have a formula for getting quality content. Here's all the ways you're going to get quality content. You've probably written these blog posts. You probably own a company that creates blog posts like this and sells it to other people. You see how popular I'm getting. And we believe there's a difference between content has value and content that doesn't have it, and there probably is. You have 8 reasons why I'm wrong right now. I get it. I understand. I understand, right? But we act like value is a thing that you can look at, that you could poke, and that you could discover and find, and it's not out there. It doesn't exist. We can measure what approximates value by using people's interactions with our content as a proxy for value, which tells you you got close to value. Your content exploded in the vicinity of value you didn't find, and you could measure it enough to improve sales, and you're good to go. That's not the same as value. Quality content. Let's take a second. Which of these sweet grills do you like better? Which has value for you? And which doesn't? Let's try the mustache, for example. Now, apologies if you have a mustache. But a mustache is the classic example of valueless facial hair, right? Does it keep your upper lip warm? You know, if you're worried about it, you'd wear a beard. You know, I mean, there's a whole porn stash kind of vibe that's happening. That, you know, the mustache is a clear statement. So if you're feeling big, I apologize. It's a statement, right? Sorry, dude, I'm pointing at the guy with the mustache, and he's like, God. He's like, if I was sitting closer, I'd knock you down. And so, you know, but the mustache. Where's John Cena when I need him? Right, but if you're wearing a mustache, it's because you like it, right? It's because you like it. There's, you know, it has this whole essence of cool. Like the whole Ron Swanson kind of masculinity vibe, right? Like, I wear a mustache because I'm a badass. And because I'm willing to let you know that I'm a badass, therefore I have a mustache. If I didn't want you to know, I just wouldn't wear one. But I'm nice. I'm sorry, I keep banging the mic. I'm that kind of guy. Right, but so what comes first? The mustache or the cool? You know, how does this work? How do we decide what counts as value?
These principles are designed to make your sales more accurate, foolproof, and faster. Take principle number one here, for example. Don't sell the steak, sell the sizzle. It's the sizzle that sells the steak and not the cow.
So old school, Elmer Wheeler, this is classic sales, right? You probably read his book if you were old enough to take marketing class in the 1960s, right? So Elmer Wheeler invents this idea. You don't sell the content, you sell the sizzle. You sell all the stuff in beer commercials instead of the beer, right? You sell the sizzle, and then we call that outbound marketing, right? I'm going to make a commercial, and I'm going to shove it at people, and it's like, sizzle, 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 and they're like, wait a minute, is there a steak under there? And you're like, shh, fine. You're buying an experience. We're a lifestyle brand. You know, and it's like, it doesn't matter what kind of, you know, you're like the wizard hiding behind the curtain going, shh. Like the Infiniti commercials from the 90s that had no cars in them. We want to say, this is us. Giant slabs of raw meat, that's inbound, right? The people are going to come in, they're going to be like, look at all the meat, and buy it, right? So inbound will be, they're already opting in a little bit. I'm not selling the sizzle. I'm not a smarmy salesman from the 70s. They want it. I just have to provide what they want. And we imagine that's the how it works. Marx disagrees. Oh, God, you came to a college professor and he's going to talk about Marxism at a marketing conference? There goes my chance to make the main stage. It's all over, folks. Okay, just be fair with me for a second. He's not a mustache. I mean, he's got the full beard. He's got the mustache. It's okay. Right? Marx spends his time talking about how we suck at differentiating value. Because we live in capitalism. We've been raised ourselves with so much sizzle, we no longer know what things are worth. People go, that shirt is on sale for 60%. Oh, what? How much is the shirt worth to you? Like, how much should you pay for something to go on your back, right? So this whole argument about if you had to find out what was valuable to you, for Marx, you wouldn't be able to find out because we like exchanges. So we have false needs. We have all these things that we grow up with thinking we want. When I was a kid, I couldn't wait when they added a new color marshmallow to Lucky Charm. I was like, Mom, this is part of a horseshoe. You know, and I had to have it because it was so different than the non-purple marshmallows. You don't understand. It's purple. It tastes purple. We have to have it. Mom, false needs. She's like, you don't really need that. And I was like, because at a certain point, Mom and Dad are like, Marx, you know, you don't need that. I'm like, yeah, I do. I'm going to die. Really, though? What do I sell beer? How do I sell beer? I don't sell beer. It's Duff brand beer. It's Budweiser. It doesn't taste like anything. I'm going to sell it with manliness and sunglasses and cheerleaders. All right, you know this, though. And you're like, the reason why we're in inbound is because we don't want to be those people. But you have to reckon with the fact that people have grown up with more advertising than any other people in the history of the planet. And we have commodity fetishism. We like liking things. What if it's true that you can't create quality content because people don't have any needs to discover? They only have needs that they co-create with you. And you're in the muck. And you can't get out. All we have is sizzle and mustaches. We have the sizzling mustaches. Yes! Only the inbound. What is the sizzling mustache principle? First, anybody from Austin? Right? You've been in line at Hop Dottie? Okay, so Austin is all about hipsters, right? Listening to LPs in the coffee shop, people tasting rocks. They're tasting rocks. All right, Darth Vader's a badass. I don't even care. But people waiting in line. I have been in lines for things. I've been like waiting in line for something in Austin, because that's the thing in Austin. You wait in line for things. It's like, it's new. Why? We have to go. I've been in lines where people didn't know what the line was for. And they liked it better that way. They're like, what is this line? I don't know. Isn't it great? We spend our lives waiting in line for shit that we don't know what it is, because other people are waiting in line. And it's a line. And if I leave, I'll lose my place. Here's a graph. We want it more because we don't need it. We hate things that we need. Take a sweater. We love it when we don't need it. We have a whole industry based on the fact that we don't want to need things, and we love not needing things. So we're stuck. You're going to create quality content. That's why I have to find your needs. We don't have any. In fact, you hate needs. They piss you off. So we're stuck here in this sort of matrix of garbage that we have to escape from, and hopefully we'll figure out how to escape. But you can see all the sort of inbound languaging that we use assumes that everything I've said so far is not true. Which it might not be. What do I know? But you look at this and you sort it a little bit. This is all the stuff about sort of like inbound philosophy, you know, a little bit on personal relationships, some other stuff there on advertising, which we don't like to do. But we like to believe that we're tailoring our content for people. And so when you list all this stuff, this is kind of my quick read of inbound literature and what it says that we do. Well, let's talk about this, if this is what we're doing. First, Marx doesn't buy this. He doesn't think those things exist. We're chasing windmills because we have to, because we get paid for it. So what we're left with is customers find us. We don't need to fight for attention. They're opting in. Really, though, you think? While you send out hashtags, which is a ginormous broadcasting channel that is only organic if you choose to call it organic, right? I mean, you know, I guess I have to go search for a hashtag, but tell me how many of you have the option here not to search the inbound 17 hashtag on your social media. You don't have the option. It's more intrusive than you would imagine. 4 months after I have a ticket to inbound, I'm getting information on why I should register for it. We push our content. We are not as passive as we think. So maybe we're not interrupting. That's what's different. Kurt Russell in a loud blazer would be like interrupting you. And we're polite. Is that really the industry stand? You know, I don't know. Of course, we do interrupt. Right? Every time I go to your, you get your little form. This is my favorite one. That's a real one. That's, I just made that one up. But that's a real one, by the way. I can't deal with this font, so we're over. But still, that sort of bothers me. Right? So we do interrupt you. What actually differentiates us from Elmer Wheeler selling steaks? Technology? The fact that I can automate it and have AI send out emails for me instead? You know, we heard last night about what's going to keep our jobs in the age of AI. Well, if we keep doing it this way, then there isn't anything left. So what do? Maybe we're not interruptive. And maybe I'm wrong about stuff. And as we move forward, maybe we'll assume that we could build some more things about building trust and other kinds of stuff. Let's recreate some of this. Let's assume that you only believe a certain portion of what I've told you so far. Let's assume that you have like a 30 to 60% doubt rate. And you're like, yeah, he's kind of funny, but no. Okay, we'll let you be right for a little while. That'd be fun, right? We'll trade. So here's the picture where you can be right a little bit. That's kind of fun. Let's talk about how we would do that then. Because I may be totally wrong. I'm a skeptic. I'm an academic. I get to just scream in front of a classroom all day, right? You don't actually have to make sales, dude. I understand that, so I might be wrong. But when you look at all this together, we've got to be able to, if there's anything right about this, be able to move forward in a different way. Here's some more inbound languaging for you, right? They're going to start off as strangers, and then we are going to tailor our content for them and transform those strangers. You've seen this language, you do this to become brand ambassadors. That's the apex of it, right? They share your, they advertise for you while you sit back and sip Mai Tais, right? Because everything is easy in marketing. How do you transform those strangers? In the 1950s, Horton and Wohl came up with the idea of parasocial relationships. That's where you fall in love with a soap opera star. You think they're your friends. And Richard Schickel says they're intimate strangers in the 80s. And you all have your favorite Chris. You think you know them. And you're super upset that he's getting divorced. Right? Because they're your friends. You're connected. You're intimate strangers. They love you. You love them. The Oscar selfie that theoretically broke the internet, the worst metaphor in the world. But still, we like to believe that we're connected and we can just have a selfie with Ellen and Bradley Cooper. And we believe we can build a relationship. Okay. Maybe so. Think about tailoring content, though. I don't know. Like, for example, I can adjust the nature of what I'm doing to adapt to you from a content perspective. For example, I could adapt to the room and show you less dead white guys. And find you people who are not dead white guys, who exhibit very similar philosophical perspectives. That would probably be good.
Yes.
Except notice I can't change this guy. I'm stuck here. You're stuck with me. The thing about tailoring content is it's not always... Maybe you can tailor you. Whether you're Captain Marvel in the 50s looking like you're a sixth person in the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine. Kamala Khan, the new Ms. Marvel. Maybe there's something about you could bring to this picture. What Kamala Khan says in beginning herself. Maybe you could just get bigger. What Andrew Carnegie says about delivery, it's you enlarged a bit. Are you enlarging yourself? Are you embiggening yourself? Are you disappearing into the haze of your marketing tasks? Here's what happens when you disappear. You make Facebook stub posts like this, that there's no information. It's what I call the helps complex, right? You know, here, we got some stuff, give us a call. And when I sent people to go look at this website, they said, oh, it's creepy. I think it's like a drug facility, or I think it's where you go and I can sign this stuff down. You'll find some dead bodies under there, right? When you don't give us the personal, I assume you're a creep. Here's how you're a creep. You do these, crap fire. There's a set of categories, by the way, that I have sorted your Twitter auto-direct messages into. From an increasing scale towards creepiness. Thanks, good. This is true. While we're busy replicating partial human interaction, people are calling out for real human interaction on the exact platforms that we're using as marketing tools. This guy's okay. He got hundreds of people connecting with him and finding him locally. People went to his house because they were able to connect with him. People want relationships online. People aren't interested in more content. You guys Untapped? Beer fans? Right, you know Untapped, it's beer reviews. Right, you're like Siskel and Ebert of beer. Except look, this guy's talking about watching zombie movies and David Bowie being dead. And here he takes us through an increasing number of beers as his beloved dog dies. And he shares it with people. On a social network, it's not about personal connections. It's about beer reviews. We want to connect, but we're not doing much of it. Stock market people arguing about stocks, sharing personal information, enlarging themselves a bit. People are doing this, but we're not. Here's the inbound marketer's version of enlarging yourself. I'm going to come down here so I don't seem so gloomy. How many of you have I Love Social Media in your Twitter bio? Yeah, okay. Huh. Fantastic. Crash to Earth. Or you have this. I live, you have a version of this in your Twitter bio? How about one of these? Multiple choice, you can choose. Are you passionate about connecting? Think of Legos? You make other people want to do this. The whole world of constant personal branding makes people tired. We hate it. We want to hide. You look at guys like this saying, you're actually doing damage to the world by giving us so many notifications, hardwired almost, into our brains to make us check our phone with like addictive kinds of tendencies. As we send more and more messages into a world that wants connection, what we're giving them is volume. Or Instagram. This is a certain, you know, you're like, I'm passionate about connecting. And those people are like, you know, my job, I like flowers. Right? And this is the connections you're drawing. It's like, who are you? Who says that? That's what people really are. That also might be why you're an inbound marketer. There's a giant rift between you, if that's you, and the world. Passionate about connecting. Let's look at some examples of people who are passionate about connecting. This is a heat map of the first 12 people I found who were passionate about connecting on Instagram in their bios. And so that's a map of what their posts are coded based on whether they're just marketing, just selfies, or just pics. And so you can see what we've got here is like, okay, seriously, lay off the marketing, dude. It's Instagram. This person is super boring. And this is a lot of self-sharing. You're making too much. Right? But that's kind of interesting. Doesn't mix. You know, so there are ways we could do this better. So we're here because we're passionate about connecting. And the world is like, I love flowers. And we're like, oh yeah, more flowers. What's up? Really, we need to be able to connect these people together who are about flowers. That's what the marketing should be. And we don't often do. We're not enlarged. We're not doing our best. Anyone from California, you remember this? Yeah. The thing is, he looks like Smarm, but you kind of like Cal Worthington. You're kind of like, he's a cool guy, he's okay, he's got the hat, what is this? Right? And it's with the same thing as Snapchat.
This is my sunglasses case that is also empty and therefore useless. But it turns out that this, the clothes flat.
That is the rock star of Snapchat, Sarah Hopkins, who has more followers than this entire conference combined, probably. And what she does is have content like crap that's in my purse for 20 minutes. Because we like her. And we liked Cal Worthington hanging out with SEALs and skydiving and selling cars. There was a connection. We find those connections. We want to connect with each other. We want to merge our horizons. And the world is becoming more like Hunter S. Thompson, not less. Remember Hunter S. Thompson creating gonzo journalism, inserting himself into the news, you know, which we'd call fake news today. But he's sitting here, look, with his cigarette, perilously dangling, judging your headlines. This is a headline generation machine. There's an awful lot of violent metaphors, by the way, in inbound marketing. It makes me a little uncomfortable sometimes, I have to tell you. And that's what it looks like, is you send more and more and more and more and more of it out. And everything in the internet, now Facebook is marketing to us to market our personal pages to our friends. Are you getting these messages? It's only a matter of time before people start commercializing their personal profiles, right? In some ways, all of us in this room are ruining the world. Filling it with content that we don't want, that feels terrible. We've got to do better. So I want you to share more, but instead, and this is where I want someone to come to the microphone. Let's change it. Let's make you more personal. There's no key to this. I want something ostentatiously personal. I want something that you would say about yourself and some of your inbound marketing material, even if it gets botted out to people on email, so that I would know something about you. I don't know about you, but I want to know what Elijah Clark Ginsburg wants at the food trucks. Like, I want to know more about that guy, right? I want to know. So someone hit the microphone and tell me something personal that you think maybe some of your clients would want to know as part of your marketing campaign. Too scary? Too scary? You sure? Now no one's going to stand up. How about your neighbor then? Let's chill it down a little bit. Find the person next to you. I want you to share something with them ostentatiously personal. Something about you. To connect your horizons together. That might be a ticket to how you can begin to insert yourself into your personal stuff if you're marketing.
I'll help you out.
All right.
My whole summary to my, I'm a sales consultant, mm-hmm. I'm a sales consulting firm. The summary of my LinkedIn is the story of when I was 11 years old, I convinced my mom to let me hang Playboy pictures on my wall in my room.
All right. So in the back. The laughing stops there because I don't think you can hear it, right? His LinkedIn profile is a story about 11 years old convincing his mom to be able to hang Playboy pictures in his room. The personal. So I know you have it in there, but it's after lunch and you're skeptical of me anyway. I'm wearing cat suspenders and I'm screaming at you about Cal Worthington. Right? You don't want to share the personal with me, but you got to be able to. Right? Otherwise, bad things are happening. How do you, this is my audience, the flaming mustache audience of the world, and here's me, inbound marketer. How do I connect if I don't have the personal? I can't. I have to connect. Right here I am in this world of lights and stuff that they like. And the sort of Google Analytics approach is I just shotgun the world and eventually I'll hit a few of these things and they'll bite on my email list. Right? But what if we could program it better? Here's Whataburger. Texas loves Whataburger. Texas loved it so much, this was the most popular meme in Texas after Hurricane Harvey. Whataburger is popular, not just because it has pickles on its hamburgers, but because it's snarky. It's inappropriate. That is my favorite. Why are you being so appropriate? Why are you not being personal? Why are you pretending you're an AI? You're not good at being an AI. You're okay at it. You're pretty good at it. You're better than most people. That's why you're at this conference. But you're better at being you. The bloggess, San Antonio blogger, has bestsellers, and she talks about mental illness and suicide and dressing her cats up in costumes. And that's why we love her. Here's me with my office, my toys. I did a webinar. I posted this behind-the-scenes video of my stupid stuff in my office. Immediately got twice the views. We want to see you. We want to connect with you. We're tired of being sold by blank at Buffer. This is my partner in crime. She does coloring books. All of her social media is personal. And people love her for it, and they can't wait for the next book. People on more stock market bulletin boards talking about their summer vacations while they're analyzing stocks. We imagine it's not professional. We imagine there's something wrong with it. It's just because we are uncomfortable with it. Because we really just want to be sitting on our computers in the side of the hallway while we're at a conference we're supposed to connect with people. We don't want to go to this microphone and share something ostentatiously personal. We would hate to come over here and do this. We'd rather sit where we are and not have to participate in this. Even if you agree with me in a little bit, you're like, leave me alone. And now I'm walking near you and I'm like, dear God. He's just getting closer. Like, this is my space. Like, I got my legs here. What do you want from me? Right? We don't want to get connected with people. We want to be anonymous. You want me to be an anonymous damn speaker standing up on stage, marketing to you and selling myself. And you're going to go and sell yourself. And you're going to have meetups afterwards when you try to sell each other the exact same product. We can do better than this. That dog is moving. How much? It's my last thing, in case you're tired. Is it moving? This is a classic study of what we call social proof. Which is, if I were to survey you about how many inches that dog is moving while you stared at it, you would have had a variety of different responses. This is the original graph of 1935. Leave me alone. As you talked about it, you would slowly converge on one answer because this is social proof. You describe the nature of reality based on consensus as you connect with people. Okay? And social proof is why we thought all these styles were okay. Seeing that here. The thing about social proof is we are in the business, I think, most of us in this room, where we think this is where we get social proof. Right? I can tell whether your social media is active based on how many people are making connections. You know, when we tell people, look, if your Twitter is empty and nobody's interacting with it, then there's no content there. So we are all about quantity. But that is where Bateson's little mark goes. Real interactions with people. I'm here to say that we're in the business of likes and retweets, and we should be in the business of replies. And in the end, in the future, that's the only thing that's going to make us different from computers. Embiggen yourself. Take your stuff, connect it together, be real, be more you, take more risks, get out there. You don't have to be tame. You don't have to play by rules that you don't think you understand. Make a rule. This is what Aristotle, 2,000 years ago, called ethos. It's how you build credibility. At no time in the history of the world did anybody think information was enough. Content was enough. Figuring out what works for your audience is enough. You know what Aristotle called those guys? Sophists. We're sophists in this room. People spewing information without real connection. We can do better. I've seen you guys in the hallways. You have more to say than them. And our job is to be able to bring these horses to horse heaven. Not horse shit. Tell people who you are, connect with them where they are, and make the world a better place. I realize that's a bit of much. Hearing that now, myself saying it, feels over the top. Texas, just be nice. So that's our no shit moment. So we'll wrap it up, and I only have like 4 minutes of questions, but you guys are so thirsty to get to the microphone before, I don't know. It might be all right. So we've talked about why connection requires personality. We've talked about why people don't have needs except those that they create as part of the relationship you build. And we've also talked about embiggening yourself and bringing more risky, humorous, narrative, creative you. Right? We come to Inbound and hear keynotes about bravery and creativity and intensity. And then you go to breakout sessions and it's all about tactics. And I don't know about you, but I always feel like there's this disconnect between those two moments. And you're the only ones who are going to make that connection. Because it's unique to you. And it's unique to your business. And it's unique to your situation. But we've got to connect those together. You've got to get bigger. You have choices. And I think you want to make the better one.